Have you ever been shot at, screamed at, spit on? Have you ever lived a day in these kids' shoes? 1960, 1970, going to school, being the only African American being teased by Caucasians every single day. Do you know what it feels like? To have someone tell you you can't do it, you'll never make it, you're just a Negro, you won't get anywhere. Do you know what it feels like? Kids in this era, and even now, are dealing with it. My aunt had to deal with it. The torture, the pain, and never getting out of it. But she made it. And so did a few of her friends.
Linda D. Gadsden, July 22nd, 1949, 61 years old.
How was the environment you grew up in? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in South Carolina, a place called Hollywood, South Carolina, a very rural community. In fact, we used to call it the country. Growing up in the country, and white people and black people did not associate with each other except going to the grocery store, the drugstore, or getting gas for the cars, for people who had cars. But we live in separate communities, different churches, different schools, and we were just two different groups of people, the white people, black people. It was a farming community, where most of the people got their living from the farm.
As you can see, she grew up in a very segregated community. Let's find out more what happened. How does that affect you as a child?
Well, as a child, I didn't know any better. As a child, I didn't think anything was wrong until I got to high school. And when I got to high school and realized that I could get a better education over at the white high school, I wanted to go there. And finally, the state law changed and said that those African Americans, black, who want to go to the white high school, they could go there if their parents would sign for them to go. Well, my family were too afraid for me to go there because they knew that there could be trouble, that I could even lose my life if I went there. So I wanted to go, and what I decided to do, I signed my mother's name on the form called Freedom of Choice, and I signed her name, and I got to go to the white high school.
How did your parents react to you going to them finding out?
Well, they were very upset. My grandmother, the whole family was upset because they knew that my life was in danger. That's what they were afraid of, that if I went to the white high school and the white people did not want me there, as they did not, and then they would try to beat me up or do things to me, and they were really afraid.
Before, did you have any Caucasian friends before going to the high school?
Yes. The young lady whose parents owned the little country grocery store where we used to go and buy groceries, we were friends, but we could only be friends at home, but not at the school, because then her friends, who were white, would then begin to tease her and try to make her feel bad that she had a black for a friend.
So even having Caucasian friends in the school still didn't make her life any easier. Did any of your African-American friends go to the school with you?
Yes, but from different communities. There was nobody from my community. There were five that went all total, but there was nobody from my community, so I had to ride the bus by myself.
Over the course of high school, were there more African Americans coming into the school?
Yes. Yes, there were. Every year, they were at it. Every year.
Were they tormented the same way you were in the beginning?
No. They didn't get the same kind of ill treatment. They did realize from the way kids acted. They didn't want them there. But they didn't do the spitball thing and the spitting and the not wanting you here and writing on your book bag and writing on your books and, you know, asking questions, you know, why did you come here and things like that. And,
how was your first day at the high school?
Oh, it was terrible. It was awful. It was like a battleground. A lot of policemen out there, a lot of people out there wondering if we could get into school, if they were going to let us into school, and just being there with a lot of people not being certain as to what was going to happen.
Did you have somebody in the school watching out for you, or were you basically on your own?
No, I was basically on my own. Basically on my own and trusting God, that's all. Because there were only five of us, and the school had about 200 students, and it was only five of us, and we were in different areas, so we had to just depend on our own faith.
How was socializing with people? Like, did they talk to you? Did they ignore you?
We didn't socialize with them. They didn't socialize with us. We ate lunch together. They did their thing. They used to always ridicule us, laugh at us, teasing and so forth. And we, you know, ate together. And then we went back in our classes, and they didn't socialize. It was like after being there a couple of years before I would say somebody would consider to talk with me. And that was because she and I were in the same class together.
How was your academics? Was that affected by your surroundings, or did you let them excel?
Academics, it was like almost playing catch up, because most of the times the teachers spoke, you know, so fast and using big words that you could understand what it was about, and you had to work really, really fast and try to get help. But eventually the teachers realized that they had to do their job, and they readjusted to understand that they had to give us opportunities just like the other kids.
So the only reason why the Caucasian teachers slowed down was to make sure the African Americans sped up and was on top of things just so they can get paid? That doesn't seem right. A partner work in class?
Oh, no. They were too busy throwing spitballs at us and throwing bubblegum and stuff. No, there was no partnering.
So did that affect your grades too?
No, because I had to do my work when I got home.
How long did the teasing last?
9 months. As long as we were in school, a year.
So what happened when you came back the second year?
The second year, it was a little better. A little better. Not a lot, but a little better. At least, I think, in our opinion. My opinion, they realized they couldn't get rid of us because the law had changed and that there would be more blacks coming, and more did come the second year. So they had to go along with the program or either go to their own private school. And many of them did just that.
The graduation go?
Oh, we had a graduation with the police department and everybody around. But we made it out of there and graduated, and most of us went in our own separate direction. And we just were so happy and thankful to God that we made it over, and we got through it. But it was quite an experience, one that I'll always remember, and I learned a lot from it. When one of the key things is that all people are just alike. The only difference is that our color of our skin. But once you get academics in your head, you don't have to worry about the color of your skin.
How were your parents feeling when you graduated? Were they proud of you?
Yes. Everybody was very proud because I was able to stick in there and stay with it even when I thought sometimes that I couldn't make it.
Did you have any influence that helped you get through high school besides God? Like, any poems that spoke out to you, or speeches, or famous people?
Well, I believe your mom, your grandmother. I knew that your grandmother had experienced opportunities with people of a different race, and she made it. And being away from here, that is, but she made it, being in New York. And, you know, there were things that we shared that we talked about. But I would say I did have one teacher there that he used to talk to me. And, in fact, he's back here now in his retirement, and we talked to each other just the other day. And I was in his class, and he would tell me that I could make it, that you can, that you really can, and you'll do just fine, Mr. Ronnie Rash. And he was very instrumental.
Even Caucasians in this era can look past skin tone and race and be there to help somebody in their time of need. Now that you look back at your high school years, do you ever wish that you lived in the era like today, like you didn't have to go through those things?
Yes, to some extent, but now that when I look back, I'm happy that I was able to have that experience so that I could get an opportunity to be in a setting with people of a different race, but to understand that in the midst of that, we are all the same. We are still human beings. We still have our issues, our problems. We still get angry. We don't want to study. We don't want to adhere to rules and regulations. That we're really all the same in spite of the color of our skin. So I can appreciate now that opportunity that I had to have the exposure that I've had, which has meant a lot, to accept it and to realize that no matter how difficult things are, that you can win battles and you have to go through it. So I look back at it, and it was all ordained for my life, and I'm grateful and I'm glad that I was a part of the history that made the crossover integration a reality.
So even through all the pain and torture she's been through, she still sees people as the same. Why can't everybody else? No matter their skin tone, their age, their race, we are all the same person. So why can't we treat it like it?